Well, the other day we spoke to Max Gawn, the captain of Melbourne. We know that they're in the grand final next Saturday night at Optus Stadium. Let's check down the other champion who's going to be leading his team out there for the big one. Marcus Bontempelli is the captain of the Bulldogs. He's part of our Inner Sanctum teams, and he joins us on The Breakfast Club. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, gents. Hope you're all going well. It's great to be back on the air with you.
It is great to have you with us, because that means you're still alive, Bont. This is good business. You're into another grand final. How does that sit with you?
It's definitely, you know, pretty special to, you know, I guess reflect on just that, and on being a part of the build-up and being in another one. And, you never know when your next opportunity is going to come up to potentially play in one, and just, you know, have to feel really excited about the occasion and what's to come.
Could you believe how it unfolded? The build-up, the dramatic build-up, you weren't allowed to train, and when you got into Adelaide, you had to get there late, all that sort of stuff. And you get out there and you blow them away, the power, in the first 20 minutes of football. Could you believe what was happening?
At the time, you know, definitely it felt like, you know, clearly the game was unfolding the way that we wanted to, and we clearly started the game exactly how we wanted to, you know. On a travel away from home, particularly at Adelaide Oval, where the crowd can have such a big say in the game. We wanted to start the game well, and clearly we managed to do that. But you're so in tune with the game, and although you know at different points you've got a bit of a margin, you do your best not to allow yourself to get too caught up in, you know, what the score is, and almost try and forget about the scoreboard. But it was probably one of those games that by the end of it, you sort of felt a little bit shocked at the result. But it certainly didn't shock me in terms of how we played and, you know, definitely what I think we're capable of.
I'm keen to find out what you thought of all the planning. I'm sure there's weeks when you go into a game and you've got your plan in place and you think, oh, yeah, that could probably work. And you go out and you do it, and it either does or it doesn't. Going into this game, there's clearly a lot of planning went into place to take away the power strength, to, you know, get in the way of Alir so he couldn't mark everything, bring the ball to ground, all that sort of stuff. Did you walk into it thinking, you know what, this will bloody work. We just got to do this and this will work.
Oh, I think every week you're confident in what you're planning for and each other and what you sort of aim to deliver for each other. And you know, you mentioned Alir, he's clearly a pivotal player for the Power, and particularly for their back line. That was probably, quite obvious, the planning to try and nullify his ability to intercept and I guess repel a lot of our attack. And our forward line were the ones that probably ultimately set the game up for us with our ability to obviously get the ball in there. But with the lads in, you know, Mitchie Hannon, obviously Aaron Norton, and, you know, the smaller types, you know, Timmy English, to be able to compete in the air and then probably allow our, you know, inside sort of source work come to the fore. We just managed to, you know, get on the end of a few really early, which definitely helped set the game up for us. But the planning is something you always feel pretty confident about going into, but it was great that it played out, you know, the way that we wanted it to.
I'm interested, Marcus, in the what appears to be a bit of a siege mentality that Luke Beveridge has got going. It's kind of like you guys against the rest of the world with things that you've had to cope with through the last few weeks. Is that a bit of a theme?
It is. You know, sometimes you just got to take what's right in front of you and use that as inspiration. You can go searching and looking for other reasons or other ways to inspire each other, and Bevo is always great with a theme or two and how he sets the game up. But I think, you know, the easiest theme was the one right in front of us with regards to the fact that we had to do it a bit harder than anyone else, and obviously we've still got a ways to go in regards to that. But it was sort of an easy way to, you know, use that as motivation, that we, you know, we weren't given any allowances or things weren't made easy. And we'd make that or use that to our advantage. So it's definitely become something for us that we've ran with the last couple of weeks.
Has he not so much surprised you, but the ability of him to inspire? I mean, he's had this group now for a while. He's a premiership coach, as you're a premiership player. But to continually reinvent himself as coach to give you that extra motivation, because it from what I understand, he's been inspiring a lot of people over the last two or three weeks.
Not surprised, only because, you know, he's been, you know, the coach of mine and many others for a fair amount of time now, and that was obviously one of the things that I think we worked out, you know, early on was one of his really big strengths of being able to intertwine, you know, not just playing the game as a privilege, but then, you know, the layers to what you can potentially achieve with a greater story or something that goes above and beyond just being, you know, lucky enough to play the game. And he does spend, you know, a lot of time, you know, trying to find different, you know, cues and different things that will get, you know, the whole group up, but inspire individuals. And ultimately, he continues to find ways to orchestrate, you know, the different emotions that you want to bring out in these big games. And ultimately it all comes back to the collective agreeance on being able to potentially be a part of something, you know, bigger than yourself, and being able to use those little stimuluses to continue to find ways to get yourself up and about for a big game is something he does really well.
So will it happen again for the grand final? Obviously Melbourne's been in Perth for a bit longer, and from all reports, you're staying like a flag motoring or something like that, a youth hostel. That's very different to the Melbourne situation. Can you keep using that as motivation in quarantine?
This place is pretty nice. So, you know, it's not a motel inn or anything like that. But, you know, you do sometimes think about, you know, how can we continue to ride the wave and even maybe set up a few little things that make the boys get a bit off and set up little traps and whatnot to continue to ride the wave so that they don't get too comfortable or start to think, oh, this isn't too bad compared to the last couple of weeks. And ultimately you just gotta ride the wave a little bit and sort of be willing to just enjoy it and go with the flow, and whatever happens. But obviously there's a bit more time with regards to the build up to this game that you're also just trying to deal with and enjoy as well. So I will continue to support the group, you know, however they need to, and look for different elements of how to, you know, keep us focused, but also, you know, enjoying the ride. And Bevo, I'm sure we'll have different elements to be able to introduce as the week goes on.
Do you think having the experience, I think there's 10 of you or 11 of you from the 2016 Premiership and the team bond, do you think having the experience of half the squad, effectively half the team, will be a benefit, or is it nice going in sort of raw and not really knowing, like Melbourne will go in on Saturday week?
Yeah, it's, you know, of course we've, you know, now we'll be experiencing, you know, both sides of it. And I think it definitely helps, you know, in terms of us being able to probably share some of our experiences and dealings with it, and the differences that come with, you know, grand final week and you know, the interaction you get and you know, the messages and the things that are a bit different about grand final week, and obviously the build up and just those different elements that make it different and special and sometimes a bit, you know, consuming, and just being able to enjoy it for what it is and not, you know, have yourself, you know, shutting yourself off to it or overindulging all the same. Just enjoy what it is and you know, take as much in it as you can. And so I do think it will help. It will be, you know, handy in being able to share those experiences. But I think we've got a good mix who, you know, haven't experienced it before, and they'll enjoy every bit of it too.
What about the break in between, the week off in between? You've had such great momentum in the last couple of weeks and played really good footy, almost, you know, back to the wall a bit to get yourself over the line or give yourself a theme, and as you talked about before. I'm sure it'll enable some of your players to get a bit fitter and be right for selection for Saturday week. But you've had such great momentum. Do you think it could halt it, or are you pretty happy that there's a bit of a spell before the big one?
Oh, it definitely has its benefits, like you said, from a physical freshen up and a mental freshen up perspective. We've, you know, obviously been sort of here, there and everywhere over the last couple of weeks, which, you know, I think I felt like, you know, after the last sort of couple of days, we've had a good spell after what was a big couple of weeks. And I guess we're trying to view this week, not as much as a week off, but definitely, you know, a game off, but a good opportunity to tune up some of those aspects of our game that were, you know, maybe not as flash in the game, which there were parts to it that we could do better. And obviously, you've got an eye towards what you know is coming in regards to what, you know, Melbourne's capable of and obviously their game too. So you look at it as more of a, well, this is how we're treating it as a tune-up week, opportunity to freshen up the legs, freshen up the mind. But when we're training and doing what we need to, we're churning it out at the best possible clip as we can, and then just continue to enjoy the downtime, continue to enjoy the build-up and prepare as we need to for next week.
Is there a Steph Martin effect for you guys? I mean, I thought his inclusion and the way he played his role, which allowed Tim English to play a bit more forward, stretch the defence of the Power. You know, who knows, it probably stretched the defence of the D's too on Saturday week if you get to that point. Is there an impact that he brings with him, let alone the fact that he's more than a capable player in that position?
Well, he brings experience. He's obviously played a lot of football at the level. He brings, a predictability when you've got, you know, someone like Steph, who we obviously started the season with and obviously had a really big impact around what we're able to do in the early parts of the season. And then we lost him for a little bit. And to have him back definitely gives you a predictability around the ruck side of things. And obviously we've had, you know, Tim up there at different points, Lewis Young, who's done... you know, who did an enormous job for us as well in those first couple of weeks to try his best to curtail that part of the game and give us that predictability. But, you know, with Steph, who's played so much football, he gets it. He knows exactly what we want and need from him, and he's happy to deliver it. It does definitely have an impact, and we just need to go to work around the ball to continue to, I guess, vindicate his hard work that he's put into to coming back into the team.
Watching you play on Saturday night, there didn't seem to be any problems with your knee or your calf or anything like that. It just seemed like normal Marcus Bontempelli. What did you surprise yourself at how well you got through the game, or was there never a drama?
No, not really. I felt like probably the following and the anticipation of you know how I'd pull up or how I'd play was probably more excessive or more than it needed to be. I obviously missed the last couple of minutes of the game, which was, you know, probably more circumstantial than anything that happened right at that moment. But I felt pretty confident, you know, from the middle of the week onwards. Once I, you know, fitness tested and felt like I had all my sort of strength and power and ability to cut, that I wouldn't have any issues on game day or game night, I should say. So it was a nice feeling to get out there and feel like I, you know, had everything that I needed to be able to obviously contribute and then go on and play the game, and it's pulled up well too. So I didn't feel too nervous about it going in, but it's certainly good, good confidence and assurance going into, you know, the next week and a bit that it'll get what it needs.
Now, you could be in for a massive 10 days or so. You've got the Brownlow medal on Friday night, where you're one of the, or Sunday night, where you're one of the key chances, and then potentially the captain of a premiership team. Do you dream about it at all, or is that just really dangerous about how big this next little period could be for you?
I think you have to understand it so you can process it. But I think when you're right in it at like we are, it's quite easy to sort of just forget about it and just go with the flow. That's probably what I've always been like, is what will be, and there's no need to sort of borrow problems from the future or start anticipating things before they're going to happen. It's something that we probably understood quite well back in, you know, 2016, is just embrace it. And that's probably something that, you know, both teams would be trying to do, is embrace the build-up. It's obviously going to be a little bit different. I know a little bit what it's like from that year. So, I don't think too much about it. I just try and stay in the present, stay in the moment, and when those occasions arise, hopefully they're good ones.
We spoke to Max about this the other day, Bont, about the game itself. 1v2 for most of the year. You played in front of no one at Marvel Stadium earlier, then no one at the MCG, one apiece, and you get to play in front of a full house at WA, funnily enough, for a grand final. Do you think that both these teams deserve this stage, considering how good you've both been all year and what you're fighting for?
Well, it's an interesting question, because, you know, you don't always necessarily get, you know, what you deserve. You know how the game can be funny at times, and if you're slightly off in a game you need to win and get done, it pans out differently. But, you know, based on both our encounters and based on, you know, how both our seasons sort of panned out despite our sort of last couple of weeks. It definitely felt like we'd hopefully find each other at some point in the postseason. And funnily enough, it's you know, ended up being in the grand final. And I think, you know, based on what they've shown and obviously what they're capable of, and especially the last few weeks, that I'm hoping, like probably everyone else, it's a good game to watch and provides a, you know, good spectacle for the game of football. But I do feel like both teams are definitely deserving, and hopefully we can put on a good game for all.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. That if you look through the season, you guys have been 1-2 for so many weeks. It seems fitting. But did you think, Marcus, at some point there late in the home and away season that you'd lost the magic, that maybe you'd run out of steam? Because you're now playing the way you were playing, but there was that lead up to the finals where it wasn't going so well.
Yeah, it's... I guess we haven't reflected too much in the last couple of weeks on that period, because clearly we dropped off in some key areas. You know, we had some little shifts and things change with team balance and different elements. And yeah, we clearly just weren't quite right on our game for that couple of weeks. But, you know, I think getting on the road all together as a whole squad was probably the best thing for us, to be able to stay together, sit together, have this, you know, squad mentality of, righto, this is, you know, our second, you know, the postseason. It's almost like a new season. And we treated all those, you know, the challenges and the hurdles we saw in front of us as big opportunities to potentially prove a few people wrong and get back to our best stuff. And you never know how it's going to pan out, but I think we just went all in based on what we felt like we were capable of, and just truly believed in, you know, the potential of what we could maybe create. And then that probably from that point, we haven't really looked back.
Well, you've certainly found your mojo the last couple of weeks, and it's a very exciting time to be a Bulldog, let alone a Bulldog fan. We can't wait to see you in action next Saturday night, Bont, and wish you the best of luck on Sunday with a couple of teammates vying for the individual accolade of the Brownlow as well. Great week it's going to be. Enjoy it, mate, and we wish you the best for the grand final next Saturday in Perth.
Thanks very much, gents. Take care, and everyone back home in Melbourne, take care also.
What a good man Marcus Bontempelli is, thinking about us as he's preparing for a grand final next week.
Did you like that saying? Which no one? Need to borrow problems from the future.
I did, when he said that yesterday, I did make note of that on my whiteboard, in fact.
Did you?
Put it on my whiteboard. Yep.
That's cool, wasn't it?
No need to borrow problems from the future. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what hasn't happened.
It's terrifying that someone who's nearly 20 years younger than me, it talks to me like he's just giving wisdom.
How old is the bot?
He's about 25.
Is he?
That would be my guess. 25?
Marcus Bontempelli. I'm just Googling this as we speak. He's 20. You're spot on. He's 100% 25.
Correct.
Yeah. We're not playing the game at the moment. But I would have thought 27-ish. But
he's so impressive for someone that's so young, the way he talks. You feel like you're learning something and a dose of perspective every time you talk to him. And he's... It's meant to be the other way around. Older people are meant to give younger people...
Oh, he's saying the same thing about us to the people he talks to. You know about that. Yeah. He's getting a lot of wisdom and guidance and leadership, right, and mentorship.
Well, we are. That's exactly what we are.
Through us. Don't worry about that.
If he wins a Brownlow and doesn't thank us, I'll be pretty flat, to be honest.
Well, we'll never speak to him again.
No.
If he wins the Brownlow and doesn't thank us.
Yeah.
And if he wins the Brownlow, we might never speak to him again anyway.
That's exactly right. Well, he can't be bigger than what he is, and he still wants to hang out with us, which is pretty cool.
No need to borrow problems from the future. It was a nice one yesterday.